Happy Sabbath. Oh, the church is filling up. It's getting warmer in here. I can feel it. I had a rather trying week this week. So many different responsibilities. And I took a shortcut. I didn't really realize I was taking a shortcut, but it worked out that way. I usually am to present what I have to say in the PowerPoint presentation, but I did it as a Word document. And Sister Slingo was gracious enough to put this together for me so quickly. So next time I'll remember to use the PowerPoint presentation, so I won't put all that burden on you. before I begin, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand in the gap for you. I pray, dear Lord, that what you have given me, I am able to clearly give to this audience. Bless and keep us, and continue to be our guide, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us to all knowledge. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This is a continuation of what has been on my heart to give you. I don't want to waste your time. I want to give you something that I think is salient, something that you can take from here and then to use in your daily walk, and also to give you some information. Especially about one matter that hopefully I'll talk about before I take my seat, something that I did not know about. And I want to just to make a loud cry out to you, because the scripture tells us that if we do not warn our brothers and a certain fate befalls them, that fate is on our hands. But if we warn and you do not heed, why then that fate is left up to you. So I want to give a loud cry out to this matter, and I'll tell you what that is once I get to it. The title of the sermon, if I were to give it a title, would be the National Sunday Law. And it's found in the End of Time book. And this book has been compiled by Vance Farrell in 2019. The National Sunday Law, and bear with me, I'll be doing a lot of reading, but bear with me and let's see if we can't go through each one of these. As I'm reading these, I want you to think, ask yourself the question, well, what can I do about that? Just ask yourself, what can I do about that? The National Sunday Law is one of the five landmark events of the last days. Does everybody agree that we're living in the last days? There are as follows. One, the beginning of the investigative judgment that started in 1844, as Jesus and the Father passed from the first to the second apartment of the heavenly sanctuary to begin the final atonement. The National Sunday Law, which marks the setting up of the image. Two, the National Sunday Law, which marks the setting up. Oops. The National Sunday Law, which marks the setting up of the image to the Beast, and the start of several other events, which we will soon discuss, includes the marking and sealing, the passing of the investigative judgment, to the cases of the living, the blotting out of sin experience, the marriage, the latter rain, and the loud cry. So it's a lot that takes place in that second one. Number three, the general close of probation from the four winds are loosed, and the plagues begin to fall. What can I do about this? Number four, the sounding of the voice of God, which delivers God's people from the oppressive power of the world. The five, this second advent of Jesus Christ, at which time his faithful ones are taken to heaven. The wicked are slain, and Satan is bound to this planet for 1,000 years. The National Sunday Law is especially important, for it jumpstarts so many crucial final events. We are now in the last days and have been there for over a century. But when this Sunday Law is enacted by U.S. federal government, the final crisis will begin. Here, the U.S. federal government, at first, in early years, when this country was formulated by the Pilgrims, it was formulated in, and it says, in God we trust. But over the years, we see in the school systems, in our way of thinking, in the way we relate to each other, we see that that God is being taken out of the picture for the most part, and we begin to depend upon ourselves for our own welfare, for our own sustenance. We seem to be acting as though we can live a life apart from God. And I believe that that is at the source of the problems that we're having in this country. Legislation will allow the changing of this day that we've come together here today to worship, and will mandate that this day be changed to the first day of the week. And mandate to us that we will have to, under pain of law and death, worship on the first day of the week. What can I do about that? One interesting point should be mentioned. Earlier blue Sunday laws in the U.S. forbade work on Sunday, but frequently permitted public entertainment, such as sports events. The spirit of prophecy specifically says that the National Sunday Law will include a no work and public worship requirement, but it may also include a proviso permitting public entertainment, such as football, baseball, and boxing matches, and auto races. We are not told that this will happen, but it would be a clever device to enlist public approval of the law in this way. Go to church in the morning and spend the evening in frolic while permitting such things as beer sales by closing down ordinary businesses. Importance of this event, the National Sunday Law. This is a subject we need to understand. The fearful judgments denounced against the worship of the beast and his image should lead all to a diligent study of the prophecies to learn what the mark of the beast is and how they are to avoid receiving it. Great Controversy 594. The Great Controversy, for you that may not know, is a compilation by our prophet Ellen Good White that she calls is referred to as the spirit of prophecy, which is the latter light. And we know that the word of God is the greater light. But she said, sheds information and clarification to the word that we ordinarily would not get, and therefore we call her our prophet, because she makes known and sometimes a very plain way the word of God. The Sunday law is inevitable. Sooner or later, Sunday laws will be passed. Last Events. This is another one of her books, Last Day Events, 128, verse 4. The objective. It will be some type of U.S. federal enactment. Our land is in jeopardy. The time is drawing on when its legislators shall so adjure the principles of Protestantism as to give countenance to Romish apostasy. The people for whom God have so marvelously wrought strengthen them to throw off the galling yoke of popery will by a national act give vigor to the corrupt faith of Rome and thus arouse the tyranny which only awaits for a touch to start again into cruelty and despotism. For spirit of prophecy, 4:10. Back in the Dark Ages, the church was the true church of God was being prosecuted by Rome. And we shook off those shackles of Rome and started the United States of America. But now, with the cunningness of the adversary, we're being drawn back and we'll give back over to that way of life, back to Satan, because Satan is the one that's behind this. He's so cleverly scheming this, for he's had 6,000 years to study us. He knows our inclinations, he knows our weaknesses, and he plays on those weaknesses to get us to get the whole nation to enact these laws that will take us really back to the Dark Ages. A law. A more decided effort will be made to exalt the false Sabbath and cast contempt upon God himself by supplanting the day he has blessed and sanctified. The false Sabbath is to be enforced by an oppressive law. Second Bible Commentary 985, 1 and 1. A decree. By the decree, reinforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect itself fully from righteousness. What can we do about that? First Testimony 451, verse 1. Can you imagine? And this is where we're going now. I believe that the problems that we're facing now is because of this disconnect. But we have not fully disconnected yet. God is allowing these things to happen until sin becomes totally ripened. And it's ripening every day, even as we speak. Just imagine a nation that's totally without righteousness. an amendment of the Constitution. Right now, we have our rights under the Constitution of the United States. These rights will be taken away from us, especially if we are forced to worship on a certain day. All freedom of worship will be extinguished, and we'll be under certain decrees by pain of death. We see the efforts are being made to restrict our religious liberties. The Sunday question is now assuming large proportions. An amendment to our Constitution is being urged in Congress, and when it is obtained, opposition must follow. Review December 18, 1888. A religious amendment to the Constitution. If the people can be led to favor a Sunday law, then the clergy intend to exert the clergy. These are the churches. These are the people who are in charge for religious guidance. The clergy intend to exert their unified influence to obtain a religious amendment to the Constitution and compel the nation to keep Sunday. Review Extra, December 24th, 1889. And we call her our prophet. So if you'll notice, look at the years and the dates here. This is what she said would happen. And it hasn't really happened yet, but all of the blocks are being rolled in place for this National Sunday Law, which she predicted way back in 1888 and 1889. It will destroy religious freedom. It will bring religious liberty to an end. The law of God, through the agency of Satan, is to be made void. In our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question. Right now, I recently heard someone say, well, the Sabbath is a law, and we now conduct our lives by faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, his birth, abolished the laws. This is why we should have an accurate study and reading of the Bible. And these small groups that I heard someone talk about, is very important that we come together and ask certain questions and read the Bible to get to know God for ourselves, so we can make these informed and life-sustaining decisions. It will destroy religious freedom, and it will bring religious liberty to an end. The law of God. I just read that one. The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. Evangelism 2:36-3. It will revive tyranny. Protestants will throw the whole influence and strength on the side of the papacy. By a national act enforcing the false Sabbath, they will give life and vigor to the corrupt faith of Rome, reviving her tyranny and opposition of conscience. Maranatha 179:2. Men will be compelled to obey. You will not have a choice. What can I do about that? A great crisis awaits the people of God very soon. And as we'll talk about in a few minutes, we can't really predict when the National Sunday Law will take place, since there's been no more time setting after the year of 1844. So we don't know when this is going to happen. But we can see, as we can feel the chill right now in our bodies when we come in here, we know that fall is coming. So how much more, when we see things happening in the world today, do we know that the end of the time is coming? And this National Sunday Law is also imminent. A great crisis awaits. A great crisis awaits the people of God. Very soon, our nation will attempt to enforce upon all the observance of the first day of the week as a sacred day. The first day of the week, as we know, is Sunday. The Lord has told us that 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is holy to him, which is today, his Sabbath day. That day, Rome says to show her supremacy that it is Sunday is the day, is the sacred day of worship. And that is the Sabbath question. In doing this, they will not scruple to compel men against the voice of their own conscience to observe the day the nation declares to be the Sabbath. Last Day Events 144:2. Sabbath keepers will be opposed and hated. If you keep the Sabbath like we're doing now, we will be opposed and hated. The faithful will fight the fight against the great powers. Seventh-day Adventists will fight the battle over the seventh-day Sabbath. The authorities of the United States and other countries will rise up in their pride and power to make laws to restrict religious liberty. Last Day Events 144:3. They will be hated for their position. Soon the Sunday laws will be enforced, and men in position of trust will be embittered against the little handful of God's commandment-keeping people. First manuscript release 279:0. Why would they be so upset? This little handful of people who just want to keep the Sabbath. This is another confirmation, church, that I know that this is the hand of Satan. He hates us. He hates us for standing up and boldly keeping his word, keeping God's word. And he wants to destroy us for it, because he knows that he only has such a small time and such wonderful promises God has made for us if we keep his commandments and don't faint. So I encourage you all, keep, hold on to the blood-stained manner. Continue on in your fight, and we will be richly rewarded. The timing of the National Sunday Law. It is not possible to set a date for the occurrence of this event, nor determine time spans leading to or away from it. There will be no tracing of definite time after 1844. 7 BC 971, for time setting is not a test after 1844. EW 75, First Testimony 409. Okay. See our track study. It's no time for time excitement. For many quotes on this, you might want to make a note of that. Lamb-like beast institutes the National Sunday Law. The lamb-like beast of Revelation 13 represents a persecuting power. Testimony Manual? Ministers 117. It symbolizes Protestant America. Great Controversy 1445. The United States of America. Great Controversy 140, 141, 45. SR. I forget what SR. What's SR? Story of Redemption. Thank you. 381 and 382. These are all other books that Ms. White wrote that we're making reference to now. This beast will take Sunday observance. This beast will make Sunday observance the test, and in doing so, it will enforce the worship of the papacy. Papacy is an arm of Rome. Great Controversy 445. The symbol of the lamb-like beast, which speaks as a dragon, will not apply to the United States until the National Sunday Law is enacted. So things will start to happen very, very quickly after this National Sunday Law has been enacted. U.S. enactment of the Sunday Law will produce, one, the image of the beast, like in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar, those who supported Nebuchadnezzar, enacted a statue to his image. You know, we were told that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. An image will be asked to be erected for Sunday keepers. And I don't know exactly what that image will be, but it will be something where you would pause and bow down and worship Rome. And number three, begin to replace the mark. And not only will we take on we begin to worship the beast, but we will take on the mark of the beast. The prophecy in Revelation 13 declares that the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns shall call the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the papacy. They are symbolized by the beast, like unto a leopard. The beast with two horns is also to say to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. And furthermore, it is to command all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of the beast. It has been shown that the United States is the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns, and this prophecy will be fulfilled when the United States shall enforce a Sunday law, which Rome claims as the special acknowledgement of her supremacy. See there, she says, I make all the whole world worship on the day that I said, so therefore I am supreme, is what Rome boasts, or will boast. But in this homage, when we bow down to this mark, to this beast power, by this homage to the papacy, the United States will not be alone. The influence of Rome in the countries that once acknowledged her dominion is still far from being destroyed. And prophecy foretells a restoration of her power. Great Controversy, 578-3-579. What can we do about that? Enactment of the National Sunday Law brings worship of the leopard beast. The leopard beast. The leopard-like beast of Revelation 13 represents the papacy. Great Controversy 443, 445. This beast is worshipped in the act of violating God's law by keeping Sunday sacred. Efforts to tear down Sabbath observance distinguish the worship of the beast. A decree will be made enforcing the worship of the beast. Enactment of Sunday observance will be equivalent to worshiping the beast. This worship will be enforced by pain of prosecution and death. The decree will require the worship of the beast. The decree shall go forth requiring all to worship the beast and his image. That first beast is the papacy. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1, is described another beast like unto a leopard, to which the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. This symbol, as most Protestants have believed, represents the papacy, which succeeded to the power and seat and authority once held by ancient Roman Empire. This papacy, which is nearly identical with the description of the little horn of Daniel 7, unquestionably points to the papacy. Great Controversy 349:1. The second beast will cause men to worship the first beast. The prophecy of Revelation 13 declares that the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns shall cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the papacy, there symbolized by the beast like unto a leopard. The decree will require that men worship the beast and receive the mark. The decree has been passed by the highest earthly authority that they shall worship the beast and receive his mark under pain of persecution and death. May God help his people now, for what can they do? For what can they then do in such a fearful conflict without his assistance? Fifth Testimony 2:13. Characteristically, the beast breaks the commandment. The special characteristic of the beast, and therefore his image, is the breaking of God's commandment. In contrast to those who worship the beast, they will not be hallowing the first day of the week. They will be keeping God's commandments. John was called to behold a people distinct from those who worship the beast or his image by keeping the first day of the week. The observance of this day is the mark of the beast. The worship of the beast mentioned in the third angel's solemn warning is the opposite of obedience to God's commandments. After the warning against the worship of the beast of his and his image, the prophecy declares, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Since those who keep God's commandments are thus placed in contrast with those that worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, it follows that keeping God's law on one hand and its violation on the other will make the distinction between the worshipers of God and the worshipers of the beast. Great Controversy 446. It will be the enforcement of the false Sabbath. People will be required to keep it as a sacred day. The great crisis awaits the people of God very soon. Will attempt to enforce upon all the observance of the first day of the week as a sacred day. In doing this, they will not scruple to compel men against the voice of their own conscience and observe the day of the nation declares to be the Sabbath. When the law of God is made void by legislature, then the sins of Babylon will have reached unto heaven. So by the laws of the land, the laws of the land will be changed. The Constitution will be abrogated. And when this happens, it's said that Babylon would have reached into heaven. When do her sins reach into heaven? When the law of God is finally made void by legislature. What can we do about this? This brings to mind something that I just recently found out about that I'd like to share with you. I'm sure many of you have already heard about it. I just found out about it. It's something that's called Project 225. Anybody heard about Project 225? Great, no one's heard about Project 225. I'm glad you haven't. Project 225, I believe it to be an enactment of the works of, you know, Satan has his minions that go to work. Project 225, if you can imagine this, I was a basketball player once. And what happens is, and this was before, it was called a crossover dribble. You fake one way, this way, but you come back the other way. We've put a lot of emphasis on the National Sunday Law. But I've always wondered, why is it that it will be so easily digested by the masses? Why is it that when I was reading these things, why is it that the masses will just so readily gravitate toward it? Well, Project 225, this is year 2023, in 2 years, it has already laid down, and please look this up and on, don't take my word for it. It has already laid down the takeover of the United States of America by the next Republican candidate, it purports. In 180 days, it says that it will remove all of the federal employees and put in those people who are working or willing to work for their cause. And whenever they do this, one of the main things that really concerns us is that they will institute the first day of the week worship, Sunday worship. So the strange thing about it, another that just boggles my mind, is that why we have not heard of this. Why is there absolute silence about this Project 225? And I think that is because of the wonderful workings of Satan and how cunning he is, because he wants us at this point to put our minds on the National Sunday Law, but overlooking how it is going to be enacted, I think. I mean, I've given 3 talks about the National Sunday Law, and just until this week did I get any knowledge of this Project 225. So please look up Project 225, and I'm giving a loud cry out against this Project 225, so that you'll know. And then whenever I say, you know, what can you do about these things? What we can do about these things is to continue to put on that whole armor of God. And no matter what, we just give loud cries, because we wrestle not against flesh, but against principalities, against forces in high places. And so we should develop ourselves, continue to do the work of the Lord. Whatever the Lord sends you, continue to work while it is still day. Fortify yourself. Be the type of men and women that God would have you to be. And I know, I am certain that God will take care of us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for putting up with me doing all this reading, because I know that was kind of rough for you, but I That's the only way that I know how to give this loud cry. So I thank you for your patience, and I thank you for inviting me here for this talk. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Continue on, striving on, doing what is right, for it is right to serve God and to seek his face. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, to press together in this way. Father, I pray that the warning has been given. I pray, dear Lord, that ears who heard will take heed. I pray that there will be a personal study amongst the hearers of this word, and that they will look into these things for themselves, so that they will be convinced by the Holy Spirit that these things are so. And Father, it may seem as though these things that were mentioned are overwhelming and are too great for us, which they are, but Father, we know that these things are just child's play for you, and that these things that were mentioned were just a test for us to see if we will be faithful, to see that whenever he comes, will he find faith on the face of this earth. For Father, must Jesus Christ suffer the cross alone and the whole world go free? No, Father, no. There is a cross for us, for him, and there's a cross also for us, that we have to qualify, that we, Father, must be cooperative with what you have ordained. So, Father, help us to be found worthy. Help us, Father, to be guided by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for a double portion of your Holy Spirit, so that we will be able to stand and withstand. And dear Lord, we ask these things. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.